Hi.
Hey there, Katie.
Hey, fantastic.
All right, so are we doing this with video or not?
No, not with videos, just audio only.
Oh, fantastic. I don't look pretty. It's good. I have a mess around me, so it's great. Like I can do the illicit things that I'm doing in my house, without any worry.
We can all do illicit things while talking, I guess. Okay. Today I'm interviewing Ryan Attard, a fantasy author of the Legacy series, of which there are, I believe, two books out now, Firstborn and the one I edited. What was that?
It's Birthright.
Birthright. That's
Yeah.
right. So I imagine you have another one planned, huh?
I have another one written up till chapter 30. I
Okay.
just dropped a podcast episode today, and that's what I said. I said I'll have chapter 30 done, and I'm about three quarters through the book. So let's see where that takes us.
Fantastic. And you have some other books out too, don't you?
Well, no, they're actually short stories. I have a novella in called Big Wolf on Campus, which is also a story in the Legacy series, and it's part of the 2013 Stellar Collection, I believe it's
Fantastic.
called. And there's a free short story called Dread Knight, which is a Halloween special. It's 99 cents on Amazon, but don't buy that. Go on Smashwords to get it for free. And with every review that I get on Birthright, I am also giving a free short story called Hammer Time, which has no, well, it has a little relation to the MC Hammer song.
And I've read it, and it's funny, especially if you've read any of the books in the Legacy series. So,
Yeah,
Ryan.
it's meant to be a deleted chapter from Birthright. But I thought, maybe if we can, it doesn't really fit in the book, so I could just make it into this spin-off scene, if you will, and just make it funny, just for a laugh,
I thought that was great. Terry Pratchett did something similar. He had a chapter out of one of his books that he put into a collection of short stories, and he said it didn't really make, it didn't further the plot in any way, but boy, was it good. Just on its own, it was just beautifully written.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense with anything else. Like it's not gonna serve any purpose. It's just there for, as the British say, shits and giggles.
Shits and giggles. Okay. Now, I understand that you live on Malta.
Yes, I live on this tiny, tiny, really hot island in the middle of nowhere. Really, it takes like about 16 scrolls to get down to it on Google Earth. So, and there's two oceans between where I am and where you are, Katie. So, because one is not enough.
Well, you're not exactly in the middle of nowhere. You're in the middle of the Mediterranean, which isn't
Which is
nowhere.
nowhere, really. It's a black hole. That's what it is. It's a black hole.
Were you born in Malta?
I was born here, I was raised here, and I'm doing my very best to get the fuck out of here. By the way, can we swear on the show? I think it's a bit too late now.
I don't see any reason why not.
Okay, good, awesome.
So what languages do you speak?
I was raised in with Maltese, which is our Semitic and Latin mix of a language that no one else speaks, because it is in fact one of the most difficult languages to learn and to write, especially. It's incredibly difficult. It's in fact one of the subjects that we fail most in school, our own fucking language. We can.
That's
I'm
okay. It
serious.
happens here too.
Yeah, but the thing is, we learned English as a foreign language.
Right. So, do you speak any other languages?
As a national language, like,
Malta has just been at the hub of so much history from Neolithic times onward.
in television for about 10 years.
In television for about 10 years. Did
Yeah.
you attend or see any of the filmings of Game of Thrones there?
Actually, I didn't attend. I have friends who were, in fact, the first episode of Game of Thrones, where the Dothraki leader, the Dothraki wedding, that actually took place in Gozo. It's a very famous location in Gozo, in our sister island. And I have friends from my Tai Chi class who were actually in that scene, dancing naked.
Cool. Although I understand that the game.
I've actually lived in that location with my family and with friends.
Oh, cool. I understand that Game of Thrones kind of messed things up someplace and got booted out of Malta, though.
I have no idea, but I'm a big fan of, fucking out in the middle of nowhere, so.
Okay. What got you started writing, Ryan?
Well, it's a bit of a funny and longish story. When you're one, when you're a kid, and I'm 23 years old, so it wasn't that long ago. But when you're a teenager, you're about to finish college and or university, and you're about to start your life, and there's just all this pressure about, you have to get your life in check. You're 19 years old. You're an idiot, okay? You have the intelligence of raspberry jam. You really shouldn't be making life decisions at this.
Ryan, you still
You have
there?
to like find a career and build a family, and yeah, I'm still here. Where'd you lose me?
There was just sort of a dead spot there for a couple of seconds. So you were saying that
Okay.
at
Are we good?
19
Are
you
we good
have the
now?
IQ of raspberry jam and shouldn't be making decisions.
Yeah, okay. So I was in that situation, not, I'm supposed to make a decision that's going to affect me for the rest of my life, but I don't want to do it because it's a scary prospect. So I thought, instead of following the 9-to-5 job that everyone else here has, I want to do something different, and I want to follow the Confucian saying, which says, find a job you like, and you never have to go to a day's work. And that appealed so much to me.
That's a very brave thing to do, though.
Yeah, and then I had read Jim Butcher's Changes, which is book 12 of the Dresden Files, and I thought, this thing is so good. And I don't want to wait another year for this lazy ass author to just produce this book next year. So you know what? I can write 100 books in the time that he can write one. And so I will try and write a book, and then I spend the next 3 years on realizing how much of a dumbass I was.
In the sense of what?
Well, in the sense that there's a reason that writers take all the time to write a book. It's because a book takes a long freaking time to be done right.
True enough. How long did it take you to write the first book in the Legacy series, Firstborn?
Well, Firstborn went through a very rough journey. I finished the rough draft of it, the first draft, at about, let's see, I want to say 2011, maybe. I don't know, summer 2011. And then I sort of self-published it with, whilst trying to get an agent. And I thought, I'll just self-publish it, and then someone will realize how awesome this book is and they'll pick it up. And I didn't realize, of course, that it was poorly edited and a piece of crap, as of course every egomaniac does. So I self-published it for a while. I have a bunch of funny stories, and then in May 2013 or April 2013, AAC Stellar follows me on Twitter. I send them a copy of the novel, and within 24 hours I'm signing a contract, and there you have it, the short version.
That's sort of the author's daydream, isn't it? You send in your manuscript and they go, fantastic, sign here.
Exactly. And I know I cried on that day. Like, I'm not ashamed to say I actually cried, but I'm not sure if it was with apprehension, fear, joy, or like I don't know. It was a mixture of feelings. And apparently, I had my own version of PMS on that particular day.
So, what was it that made you decide to pick fantasy? Was it ever in question, or was it just always going to be fantasy?
Well, as I said, I'm a huge fan of the Dresden Files, but I also love a lot of anime, a lot of fantasy anime. Like, to me, there's something special about taking the epic fantasy, the dragons, the demons, the warriors, the old school shit, from Dungeons and Dragons, and putting it in a world where there's technology, there's people with our current philosophy, our current lifestyle, and just crossing those two worlds together makes it fun. I'm not a big, you know, romance guy, and I'm not a big, you know, plot guy. I just love watching characters squirm, and the best way to do it is to put them in monsters, literal and figurative.
What were your literary influences on your work? You mentioned anime. Anything else?
I didn't get that.
What were your literary influences? But who did you really, other than anime, what other influences have you used in your writing?
Well, interestingly enough, the Legacy series wasn't called the Legacy series. It was actually called the Last Firstborn series. And it's a horrible name, I know. And it was called that because I came up with the idea when I was listening to a song by my favorite artist called Celldweller. And his song, this particular song, was called The Last Firstborn. And it inspired certain images in my head that matched perfectly with the idea and with the story I was telling. And I thought, you know what, I'll name the series after the song. And then, of course, my friend said, no, this is horrible. You're destroying your career. And so you got to change it. So I picked the name Firstborn for the book and the Legacy series for the series. And I still listen to Celldweller. Birthright is actually named after another Celldweller song, because apparently I'm going to rip that artist like dry.
Apparently. He should be pleased. Now, I understand that, well, for one thing, the books that you've written are just action from beginning to end, nonstop. And there's a lot of fighting that involves magic, but it also involves swords and martial arts. I understand that you actually own some swords.
Yes, I do.
And you practice with them.
I own a variety of martial arts weapons. I started practicing martial arts when I was about, I want to say, 15. And boy, you know how kids would spend their allowance on candy? Mm-hmm. I would spend mine on like a pair of nunchucks or like a staff or a wooden sword or just anything that I could use and practice with. And, you know, when you have that stuff at home, and you really wanna get better, you would really do, because you're constantly practicing, and so you know, I am even nowadays, I mean, that attitude of still, you know, practice, you know, and being disciplined, like I still love it, and I do love putting fight scenes in the book, because you know. You know, when you're fighting a monster, like when you're fighting a demon, you know, you gotta throw a couple of magic fireballs and you have magical swords and all of that. But for example, in Firstborn, when Eric's fighting against Jack, which is a metal elemental, which he's essentially a human being at the time, you know, there's a lot of jujitsu there. There's a lot of judo. There's a lot of, you know, traditional martial arts, because it's a human versus a human. So you gotta give the guy, your protagonist, all the tools he needs to survive. And being able to kick some ass is one of them.
When you write a sword fighting scene, do you practice that out in reality to get the moves right?
Sword fighting, rarely. Like I would like practice and hold the weapon just to see, like, okay, what am I doing here? I'm going this way. I'm going that way. I'm doing this particular motion. Like, that's okay. I really wish I could use magic, but I can't. Probably for good, because I'd be a supervillain. when it comes to, however, the fight scene I was mentioning before, the one between Jack and Eric, you know, the one between which involved jujitsu and judo, that was actually like practiced for real. Like, I actually had a friend of mine. I said, you know, can I try something out? And then I sort of remembered it as part of our sparring session. I thought, you know what, I'm going to use that. I'm, you know, it's good. Like, it's simple, it's direct, and it's somewhat brutal.
Do you collect swords, or is it mostly just that you have some for this martial arts practice?
Well, here's the thing. I would love to collect them. Except over here, we have the same attitude about, you know, we're getting a bit, we're getting a little westernized, you know, we're getting a bit Americanized with regards to our weapons, which means there's a lot of laws And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of bullshit with regards to all of this. So, you know, unless you have the right contacts, which I don't, you can't really exactly get what you want. Yeah.
Believe me, we don't have enough laws regarding weapons in this country, in my country.
Well, no, what you do you do have laws, but the problem is they're so full of loopholes at this stage that, you know, I mean, like, you know, your Second Amendment, a lot of that, you know, I don't want to really get into it because that will take like 2 hours. But, you know, there's a lot of loopholes and there's a lot of bullshit. And there's a lot of people wanting to do whatever they want, regardless of other people's feelings. And so, you know, what we have here is the same thing, but from a legislative point of view, which is, it's like a complete shutdown of everything. So, you know, we're limited in certain things. Like, for example, okay, let me mention something else. In Malta, we don't have Starbucks. We don't have Reese's Puffs, you know?
Yay.
We don't have any of that. We have no Starbucks, Katie.
Well, you have no Starbucks, but apparently you do have swords. Now, I've noticed, especially in Birthright, there seem to be a lot of Asian philosophy backing your work. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah. There's a lot of... you know, I mean, Rick Riordan did the Greeks. You of course did. You know, your Mesoamerican and voodoo and all of that, or however you pronounce it. You know, a lot of people go for that traditionally. And when it comes to Asian mythology, I'm talking anywhere from India to all the way to, you know, even Iran and Iraq. You know, from the Middle East all the way to Japan, like. That stuff is a little shrouded, and I love that, of course, because of my my anime influences. And so I thought, you know, let's hit home. And I know, like, I can converse badly in Japanese. Like, I can converse, you know, get what I want in Japanese because I've watched so much anime. And so, you know, let's crowd. And the other is, you know, I mean, look, just think about it for a second. Eric is learning in Birthright to become a hunter. He's putting his life in danger. And the Asian philosophy is of, you know, traditionally it's one of staunch discipline and one of, you know, emotional control, which you kind of need when you're you know, dealing with monsters and powers beyond the human realm. Like, it may behoove you to control your emotions and to be a little disciplined in that stage.
What are you working on now? You mentioned a third book in the Legacy series. Anything else?
Oh Christ, I have like 8 different projects going on right now. So these are the ones I can actually talk about, which basically translate as to the ones where my manager or, you know, Ray Vogel in our case, you know, gives the okay to. So right now I have my new sci-fi adventure series called The Pandora Chronicles, which is being torn apart by beta readers. And if any of you are listening right now, please get a freaking move on.
that would be me.
Yeah, you love them. So yeah, that was a loaded statement. Okay, I'm not above using petty tricks here. So that's it. You know, I have book 2 of that series actually planned. That's a 6-book series. I have the second book planned out. I'm creating a world that is after those books, but I can't really talk about that, so hush up. I'm also working on my dark psychological thriller, not sci-fi, it's a psychological thriller. It's like The Mentalist meets, you know, his evil counterpart, called Evil Planning. And it's actually serialized fiction. It's the first time I'm going to experiment with that. And I have 3 out of 4 episodes that I plan to release this December. And I plan to release those for free or for a really reduced price and then actually sell you the full season, which is 10 episodes. At the same time, I'm working on... that's all I can talk about right now.
Okay, but that's an awful lot to be working on when I understand you also are carrying a full course load.
I actually graduated, so thank Christ for that. I graduated last year in criminology, which is a very useful degree when you write about magical swords.
Yeah, I can see that.
No, it's not. I'm just joking there.
I'm joking too. That's sarcasm, son.
See, there's a delay, so I can't really hear it. It's about as useful as, right now it's just hanging on the wall. You know, it's keeping mold away. Like, that's its only job right now. Its job is to attract mold into itself so it doesn't fuck up my wall and have me do a paint job again. Like, that's it. That's the my degree's job. I just finished a part-time course in coaching, but that's for my other life, me, the training guy, because I enjoy teaching martial arts and I enjoy practicing martial arts, so I thought I'd get some qualification for that. And I graduated last April, March, I got 2 degrees in script writing and novel writing from the Australian Online College.
That's
so
fun.
That for now, I'm not taking any more courses. Like, I am done. Like, I'm completely done. I actually had my last exam on June 12th, which was the same day that my book Birthright dropped. So you can imagine the stress on me.
Yes, I can actually. Do you? What do you want readers to know about you?
Don't take anything I write personally because I'm insane. Let's just start with that. The second part is, just enjoy it. I mean, that's really it. I mean, just I'm an entertainer. My podcast is meant to entertain. My author's notes are meant to entertain. My books are meant to entertain. Every interview that I do is meant to entertain. Like, my job is to make you go, oh, okay, I'm having a good time now. I'm distracted from the horrors of real life. That's it, really. And perhaps, maybe if there's a writer out there or an artist who are struggling, with their identity or struggling with making their dream happen, perhaps, I could be an inspiration to those people. That's it, really.
Oh, that's interesting. I took one of those stupid BuzzFeed questionnaires to find out what medieval profession would I have had I been born then, and the answer was court jester, which I thought was appropriate.
Well, if I were to take that course, was there a category that said executioner or plague spreader?
I don't know. Would be me. You'd be the executioner.
I'd be the executioner, or I'd be the guy being executioned. Like, is there a guy that's constantly in the stocks getting rotten fruit constantly thrown in their face? That would be me.
Yeah, I don't think that was considered a profession.
No, that was just an unfortunate byproduct of a fucked up tutor law. Okay.
So there's a dark side to Ryan Attard.
There's a horrible dark side. No. There is. If you listen to any of my podcast episodes, where I basically record live, as we're doing now, I just record live, and I rarely edit anything because I'm too lazy. If you listen to it twice, there's something subliminal there where I'm working through some anger issues and I'm working through some horror issues. And the thing is, in reality, every joke that I tell has a basis in darkness. It starts from a horrible moment and then you sort of work your way therapeutically and make it funny and make it acceptable. And I tell a lot of fucking jokes, so there's a lot of issues there. That's it. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you think about it, every character in the Legacy series is actually part of my personality. And there are a lot of fucking sociopaths in there. So,
interesting point, but if that's true, what does that say about G.R.R. Martin?
No, that guy's fucking nuts.
Now, you're working in a lot of different genres for somebody, especially somebody that's been successfully published at such a young age? I mean, you've got fantasy, science fiction, thriller. Are there other genres that you think you might explore?
Well, there is. I'm actually writing a book right now, which I can't talk about, but it is in sort of a memoir, kind of a drama-ish book. Like it doesn't have sword fights or anything in it. I'm actually trying to branch out. You know, through that book, then I have another series which I would call like steampunk or historical fiction. It's like X-Men meets steampunk in like the 18th century or something, or the 19th century.
That sounds like big fun.
It is. It is. And I haven't seen anything quite like it yet. So you know, which is good because I hate. Like I have a major problem. Like, thank God I don't have to categorize my own book, because I have no idea how to do that. Because I can write copy, like I can write the thing and take advantage of Amazon's categories, but I have no idea how to properly categorize my book because it branches out into so many things that I hate pigeonholing myself. I hate writing in one genre. I don't think there is. I think the concept of a genre is actually quite like it's human anal kind of, you know, categorization thing. Like
it's
we do
true.
Things.
That's very true. I mean, but I think that's part of the whole commercial aspect of publishing, that you've got these labels or brands.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That you have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, without those categories, you wouldn't have a search engine at the bottom of your Amazon page that says, you know, other viewers have bought this. Like it won't say that without those, you know, keywords and without those tags. And Twitter would be a failure without hashtags. So, you know.
True enough. Well, sounds like the readers and myself have an awful lot to look forward to coming our way from you, Ryan. Looking forward to it. I'm going to bring this interview to a close, and thanks very much for spending your time with us. This was Ryan Attard, author of the Legacy series, consisting of Firstborn and the one I can never remember, Ryan.
It's Birthright.
Birthright. Okay. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for interviewing me. Bye-bye.
Bye.